Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Tiki and Tierney. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Press button, get mortgage. Tiki Barber sitting in solo today. BT is off on vacation, a much needed vacation after a long football season. He's doing St. John's games now as well. Very rarely do he and Jen get a chance to get away. So he's off somewhere soaking up the sun, probably having a few beverages as well. So I'm taking you through the day and through tomorrow as well. Get in touch with us here, 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Samter manages that. Catch us at radio.com as well, where you can find our podcast of all the episodes of Tiki and Tierney, great interviews, and everything else that goes on our show. Caron Butler, NBA analyst and the host of the Tough Juice podcast. All these former basketball players have these interestingly named podcast. I guess it's a good thing, but he'll join us to talk a little NBA in our second hour, 4:20 Eastern, 1:20 Pacific. And Chris Harris Jr. supposed to be on with us in our 5 o'clock hour, 2 p.m. Pacific hour. We'll see, hopefully be able to catch up with him. He is obviously a free agent, and his services should be in demand. But the big story of today actually started yesterday, when we started to get word that the NFL owners were congregating here on Park Avenue at the NFL League's offices. And they were trying to, at least they're making an effort to, get the NFLPA and all the player representatives here as well. The difference, and I saw this on social media and it was pretty funny, all the owners can get here because they come on private planes. All the players can't because they got to fly commercially. So that meeting for a couple later this week, tomorrow or early next week, may or may not happen. But the purpose of that is what's most important. And as you've heard, I'm sure, in the updates all day long and probably ascertained by now, the NFL is looking to get its CBA done within the next week or so, which I think is amazing. We all remember how the last collective bargaining agreement negotiations started out back in 2011. It was contentious. There was ultimately a lockout in the offseason. We saw some, you know, it looked like it was headed towards some really dire straits, because despite all the money that the league was making, I believe at that time it was like $9 or $10 billion in revenue, some of the owners were crying poverty, saying we don't have enough money to operate. You know, obviously their books aren't open except for the Green Bay Packers, who are, I'm putting quotes, publicly traded, but you couldn't really tell other than to take their word for it, which really meant that their margins weren't big enough, but they weren't quite in the red. And so it got contentious back in 2011. Ultimately, it got hashed out, and now we're coming up upon another potential sticking points. There's some sticking points in this upcoming CBA. So I think it was smart that the NFL and the NFLPA tried to finish this thing early, or at least get to the table early and try to hash it out, so that if you do come across some things that are sticking points for one side or the other, you have plenty of time to get it figured out. March 2021 is when this current CBA expires. Now, there's a couple of issues on the table. One is the percentage of league revenues. The other one is as a salary floor, which you rarely, very rarely hear about, but it's an important one to think about, because a lot of players go to organizations that just don't spend money. And as a result, they don't have a chance to be competitive. They're not bringing in the top free agents or using their salary cap to its fullest potential, the chances and likelihood of having a winning team aren't really there. The NFL Legacy Fund has been talked about. The Legacy Fund is the benefits for those that played before 1993. minimum salaries, the fully funded rule, which is an interesting one as well, because that one states that in order to sign someone to a guaranteed portion of their contract, that guaranteed portion has to be put away in escrow. And so therefore, sometimes teams who don't have heavily moneyed owners can't sign their big-time free agents because they don't have the money to put away. At least that's what they say. They don't have the money to put away or don't want to put that money away. The big one that we've talked about over a lot of the last couple of years has been the modifications to the drug and suspension policy, which the commissioner has had full control over and kind of as a judge, jury, and executioner. If he feels like he doesn't want you in the league for whatever reason, you're going to find yourself with some sort of suspension, and the NFLPA wants to change that. But the biggest one and the one that everybody's talking about is the 17-game schedule. Now, I know this gets debated so many different ways. There's also a proposed addition or expansion of the postseason, an extra wild card to each conference. The bye only goes to the top seed, which I guess incentivizes you to have the best record in the National Football League. That way your window or your road to a championship is only three games as opposed to four games. But that's something that could take place more frequently, and I think that's actually a great thing because it gives us more football. It takes away a preseason game, which is most of them are pointless because the guys don't even play in that third preseason game like they used to. So get rid of a preseason game, pay the guys a regular salary as opposed to a preseason salary, which is about a tenth of what they make during the regular season, and add another game, which we as consumers aren't going to complain about. The big one, though, was alluding to, is this 17th game. Now, you can put this in so many different ways to talk about. Why are we talking about a 17th game? It makes it uneven. It doesn't feel equal. You're going to have odd numbers of teams. Some team is going to have a home field advantage more than another team that has to play that odd number game on the road. It just feels inequitable. And obviously, players will talk about player safety. In fact, Richard Sherman talked about this at the Super Bowl about player safety, but I have a different take than Richard's, which is here.
I think it's just speculation at this point. You know, I think it's the owners using the media and the way owners use the media to try to control the rhetoric. And I don't think it's something that players are interested in, honestly. And if that's the point they're negotiating on, I think these negotiations are going to go a lot longer than anticipated because it's odd to me, and it's always odd when you hear player safety is their biggest concern, and they're really standing up for player safety, but it seems like player safety has a price tag. And so that's the part that's really concerning for us as a union and us as players, because they think that players have a price tag on their health, and I don't think we're in the same ballpark in that regard. That's what's so ridiculous about it, and nobody calls them out. Nobody calls out the hypocrisy.
Now, Richard Sherman is the vice president of the NFLPA, the Players Association, so he is speaking from some level. But there's also a lot of players who are very interested in making extra money. Now, the caveat to this X-17 game would be there would be an increase in league revenues, or at least player share of league revenue. Well, definitely there'd be an increase in total league revenues because there's one more regular season game. But the player share of league revenues would increase by what they're saying, a percentage point. So from 47% to 48%, which is about $150 million per club, and over the length of that deal, that's a big number for players. So that's one side of it. The other side of it, and then I talk about the unfairness of one team having a home game, when you think about how the league generates revenues, or at least new revenues, not the existing one, not the TV deals, not the ticket sales, not the jerseys and all those other things that we are traditionally aware of. It's when they build new stadiums, and there are a couple of new stadiums that are going to come online pretty soon. The one in L.A., Las Vegas is coming online as well. Just the fact that you have a new stadium brings new revenues, and then you get the naming right for those stadiums, which even lumps on even more revenues. There are new digital partners that are to be considered. That's going to add to league revenues. Gambling will be a big part of new revenues to the National Football League, and so you're going to start to see that $15 billion number climb. The one that we kind of feel odd about is the internationalization of football. Now, you've heard this talked about a little bit. Obviously, the Jaguars have been front and center with this. They play a game every single year. I think they had a 10-year contract to play a game in London. Well, it was announced that they're going to play two games in London this year. And it's not that this is a conversation about a team moving themselves to be local in London. It's just the fact that anytime you're looking to grow revenues, you have to think outside of your local markets. I mean, every company does this. You talk to Amazon, Jeff Bezos, when he talks about new revenues and growth in revenues, it's not going to come from people in the United States because that's maxed out in a sense. It's going to come from international expansion of what they do. The NFL is thinking the exact same way. So in some regards, this 17th game might be, and I think a lot of people are thinking this way, might be a way to push an international game on every team and truly take the game global as opposed to having a couple of games here and there in London. That's the interesting side of it from the owner's standpoint, because if they can go global and they can open their market to hundreds of millions more people, more eyes, new TV deals internationally, that's when the league gets to that $25 billion number in league revenues that they've dreamed about for a long time. From a player standpoint, though, I think Richard Sherman, what he's saying about player safety is valid. But I think it's only as valid as how much money you're willing to offer them. Let's think about this. When you start playing football, it's not because you're soft. It's because you have a toughness. When you get to the college ranks or get to the National Football League, each step that you take up, it gets harder and harder, more physical and more damaging to your body. Yet you still opt into it because you know that there is a huge economic salary opportunity for you. Now, if you're going to add on to that by giving them an extra game, 95% of players are going to say, count me in. Yeah, I understand it's one more game, and yes, it's one more opportunity to hurt myself. But at the end of the day, if money talks, then I think these guys will come on board. And the NFL knows this. I think most players know this. The only reason Richard Sherman has the take that he has is that he doesn't want to negotiate it in public. Why? I'm not sure. Maybe because they don't want to seem as greedy as the owners do, in a sense. But if you have an opportunity to make more money doing something you love by playing an extra game, I think you should. And I think, honestly, as a consumer, we're going to forget about the reasons why there's an extra game. We're going to actually love an extra game. Tell me what you think. Do you want to see 17 games? I don't think we can go to 18 or 19 or 20, but do you want to see 17 games? I think it's great for the sport. We're already demanding it in so many different ways, and the XFL was born simply because there's not enough football. 855-212-4227. A 17th game, do you want to see it? I think I do. I wouldn't mind it, that's for sure. But again, I'm not playing right now. A new CBA, I think it's great news for this league. I really do, especially because we can avoid any kind of work stoppage. But is a 17-game schedule the right move? What do you guys think? We'll talk about it next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by GEICO. I see you guys hanging on. We're going to get to you in a second. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at GEICO.com. Easy. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio with Tiki and Tierney, getting ready to take your calls at 855-212-4227. Now, I think the NFL does need more football. It feels like some people are ready to be done. They're ready to get on to baseball, get on to other things, college basketball, etc. But if you push it in the right side of the postseason, I think more football is a good thing. You always feel like you're wanting. And one of the reasons that the XFL is in existence right now, just like the Alliance for American Football, which faltered after a couple of months, come into existence because there's this belief that we as consuming Americans want more football. The problem is when you get sold a league or a product that's not the NFL, you rebel against it. And that's, I think we're starting to see that with the XFL, because you know what you're watching is not the elite of the elite. It's why the NFL Europe, remember that from a couple of decades ago? It's why that ultimately faltered, because you realized even like Europeans realized they weren't watching elite level football. And so week one, I actually was tuned into the XFL. I loved it. Week two, D-Cell, watched none of it. Samter, and it, by the way, this is our job to watch sports. Samter had it on in the background. It's just not something that feels like the product that I'm talking about. But the National Football League is polished. It's been around, and it's about to celebrate its 100th anniversary. It had its 100th season last year. Its 100th anniversary is coming up. More of the good stuff, I think, is great for the game. I think it's great for the players. It feels like everybody wins. Players make more money. Owners make more money, not that they need any more money. Fans get more football. I'm interested to see what you guys think. 855-212-4227. Let's get Tony, who's out in California. Tony, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. What do you think about the 17 games?
I think it would be a great idea. And the biggest controversy would be an uneven schedule because of, you know, 8 home games, 8 away, and the mysterious 17th game. What I think would be a great idea is to have games on a neutral site.
Yeah.
Obviously, they would want to do it internationally, but even have some here in the country, places like that, you know, they must love football in Omaha, Nebraska, but they've never had an NFL game in Omaha, Nebraska, that I know of at least, or maybe they did 80 years ago or so. But if they were to have one in 2021, people would flock there.
Tony, it's a great point. You know, because I was thinking internationally. Thank you for your call. I wasn't even thinking about this domestically. Obviously, the NFL plays games in London. They've tried it in other places. Mexico City had a game 2 years ago. Did they play last year in Mexico City, or was that one I can't remember. Was it last year canceled, or 2 years ago it was canceled because of the field? I can't remember. But anyways, they're trying to play in Mexico City. They're trying to go to different countries because it just grows the brand. It grows the shield. But Tony's right. If you live in some area of the country, of which there are lots of them, there's only 9 states, I believe, that have NFL teams. I think it's 9. If there's a part of the country where you can't get NFL football, if they do a neutral site game, of course you're going. Absolutely. It's a novelty. It'll sell out. I'm positive. Probably dissimilar to some of the home teams that aren't completely selling out because their fans of inferior products are disinterested. Let's get Carl, who's out in Nebraska. Carl, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. What do you think?
I think if they go to add additional bye week, not a bad idea.
Okay.
And I'm listening that neutral sites, as long as they don't do a makeshift field.
Yeah,
for the
great point.
Field's too small for the players.
Yep, like what happened in, or not up to the right standard like it was in Mexico. I think the other thing is you can't combat or, because you're out in Nebraska, so college football is huge out there. You can't, like, compete with a Nebraska home game if you're going to do it in Nebraska. That's the other thing you got to think of. You got to be really smart about where you put these neutral site games.
I think we might like it.
So would you go? Would you be up for? Are you a Nebraska? Are you a Cornhusker fan?
Oh hell yes!
So if you went to a Cornhusker game on Saturday, would you go to an NFL game on Sunday, or is it too much?
That might be too much, depending on if it's a day game or evening game.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I like that. 23 states, Samter. 23, really?
I mean, a lot in California, but obviously the Raiders moved to Vegas.
Well, Tampa's got 3. California had 3. New York's got 2.
Well, New York really technically has 1. If you want to count, Jersey has 2.
Oh, that's true. I mean, I count the tri-state area.
It depends
area
on
as
if
1.
You count, like, you know, the Redskins and Ravens both in Maryland, but I guess DC is separate.
Yeah.
Texas has a few.
Texas has 3. 2.
Pennsylvania has a couple.
Yeah.
The Steelers and the Eagles. So
I just feel
Ohio
like there's so many
2.
Aggregates. There couldn't be 23 states. I mean, but maybe. I think you're probably right, actually. There are 50 states. Let's get Rod, who is in the aforementioned Pennsylvania. Rod, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. What do you think about this, man?
Hey, Teek. So I think that it's a no-brainer. I told Samter that no one will, oppose
I'm not watching. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's face it. People plan their entire weekends around Sundays.
Yeah.
It's a family right. tradition. It's everybody loves the Shield.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a no-brainer. You know, the bad thing is you worry about players' health.
Yeah.
And then to combat the, what do we do with the odd number of games? You know, the teams with winning records from the previous season should be rewarded with an extra home game, and the teams with the losing record should have to play on the road.
Nah, that's an interesting incentive. That's you guys have some good ideas here. Tony, going to neutral sites, not just internationally, which certainly they're going to do, but also domestically, and incentivized to be over 500. If you're over 500, you get an extra home game, which kind of helps you stay above 500. Samter, what do you think about this?
Well, so to his point, which I thought was actually really interesting, but I think the way the NFL works, it would be the reverse. The losing teams would get the extra home game, and the winning teams, because like
yeah, but then
the winning teams always have the harder schedule. The teams with bad records have easier schedules.
Yeah,
right. So like the way the NFL works, they kind of reward teams.
But I don't think
who
so.
Are bad because, 1 year, so they can become better the next
but
year.
But think about the proposed playoff expansion, and I'm going to D-Cell's take here in a second before we take a break here and get Axe update. Think about the proposed playoff expansion, which adds another wild card team and eliminates a bye week for both conferences. So there's only one team that has a bye. And so it's really incentivizing you to have the best record in the NFL. Sam, D-Cell, do you like – I mean, obviously, we're all going to watch. I mean, he was right. If we throw another game on, we're all going to watch it. But do you like it? Do you think it's worth it?
More football, the better for me personally. But when I listen to Richard Sherman say his, player safety take, I get that wholeheartedly. But then we talk about, the average shelf life of an NFL player,
right.
which is – Four years,
maybe. Who knows? Yeah,
so,
you're right.
What are we talking about? An extra three games, four games in their entire career? Why wouldn't they be in favor of that?
Of course they would. And I forgot what tweet I saw. Who was this? It was Jamal, our guy here. Jamal, why am I forgetting his name? Last name. Safety for the Jets. Jamal Adams was like, he tweeted this yesterday when he first heard about this. More games means more money. I'm all for it. So I think it depends on where you are and what your perspective is of health. And again, I'll reiterate this. Everybody who plays the game signed up to have your body beaten and bruised and battered. And the smart ones who have serious issues, whether it be a joint or repeated head trauma, are starting to get out of it. And they are able to do that because they're making better money because they're – the revenues have gone up so much over the last decade. So if revenues can go up more and guys start to have higher concerns about, the repeated dangers of head trauma or joint injuries or whatever it may be, then they're more incentivized to walk away from the game. So I no matter how I look at this, I see it as a win-win. The playoff thing is interesting. There's obviously some things to be worked out. But I think an extra game is not as a non-starter as some people are making it out to be, including some of the players. Anyways, let's move on because we got some other things to talk about today. We're going to obviously get into what Dak Prescott should do at the top of our next hour. And one of the Cowboys greats said something that I'm not so sure I agree with. But moving to baseball, should players really retaliate against the Astros? Some think it's a bad idea. Inbounds and Out of Bounds is next. But first, let's get an update from Richard Ack. Welcome back to Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate your calls. Hit us up on Twitter if you didn't get a chance to get involved in that NFL expansion to 17 games conversation at Tiki and Tierney on Twitter. Also grab us on radio.com if you would like. We're going to get to inbounds and out of bounds here in just a second, but Richard Ackerman, our illustrious update anchor, said something interesting to me. I didn't think about it, but he's right. If you have a contract, existing contract that goes through 2021, you're going to have a little bit of a gripe if they add a 17th game. But I think this pushes out. This 17th game won't happen until 2023. But let's just say it had happened immediately, like the potential playoff expansion could happen immediately. They're saying that could go into effect for the 2020 season. So next season, we could see seven playoff teams as opposed to the six. But if it did, a lot of these guys have existing contracts, and you're paid by week. And so all of a sudden, that 17th game is not quite factored into your contract. And just, you know, just for like logistics sakes, they're essentially taking away a preseason game. And back in my era, which was now 12 years ago, that preseason game, you were making like, I don't know, $10,000, maybe $11,000 a week, which is why guys were always upset about preseason games, because you're getting charged the same gate, right? The play, like the fans are getting charged the same thing. They're bringing in the same revenue, but they're playing the players, you know, like a tenth, if not less, than what their actual salaries are. So they'll work this thing out. But if you have a deal that goes out past the start of the 17th game, you can have some really little renegotiation going on. Samter, are you ready to help me do inbounds and out of bounds? I think I agree with you on a lot of these, but some of them I think you're just out of your mind. Are you ready?
First of all, you don't have to agree or disagree with me. I'm just stating an opinion and seeing whether or not you agree with it. It's not me. This isn't my opinion.
I look at inbounds and out of bounds as your take on something.
So whenever you say out of bounds, it's basically you saying you think I'm an idiot.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Let's hit it, D-So.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki and Tierney's Inbounds and Out of Bounds, our daily segment for today, is sponsored by TracFone. The new TracFone Wireless, new limited talk and text smartphone plans starting at $20 per month. No contract. All right, let's hit it, Samter.
This is an interesting story. I saw this break over the wire yesterday, and as the details emerge.
Interesting that you're laughing at it? I mean,
not even laughing. It's just, it's so absurd to me. But Browns free agent offensive tackle Greg Robinson was hoping for a big payday, but apparently he wasn't just relying on that NFL money. Yesterday, Robinson and former Auburn teammate Quan Bray were arrested near the U.S.-Mexican border with, get this, 150 pounds of marijuana. That's right, 150 pounds. That weighs more than me.
Wow.
All right?
We're going to get you high tonight.
Seriously. The 27-year-old
like the whole state.
The 27-year-old former number two overall pick has been charged with intent to distribute marijuana, which holds a maximum penalty of 20 years in prison. Now, of course, it doesn't mean he will get that, but that's the maximum.
20 years in prison?
Yeah,
max. That's not a laughing matter, dude.
No. Now, we all remember former Cowboy tackle Nate Newton, who was arrested twice. First with 213 pounds of weed, and the second time with 175 pounds. I guess he at least downsized a little bit that second time.
Party's not going to be as big next time.
Yeah, I guess he didn't learn his lesson that first time around. So inbounds or out of bounds. Greg Robinson, again, remember, 27 years old.
Yeah.
Greg Robinson will play in the NFL again.
I'm going to say inbounds because I think these charges perceptually get reduced down to something that's not as crazy. But, man, 157 pounds? That's a lot. Like, cannabis leaves don't weigh that much. I mean, to have 100, wow, that's a lot. So clearly he was trying to distribute. But look, let's face it. The cannabis world is evolving. The acceptance across the country, according to Gallup polls, is well over 66%, headed to 70. There's going to be legislation, I believe, in the very near future that deschedules substances with THC in it. We've already seen the farm bill legalize hemp and CBD products. You're starting to see an explosion of that across the country. So I think the perception has changed. Therefore, and I think this gets played down a little bit farther than a 20-year prison sentence. He's going to be on probation or something like that. At 27, as a good player, he has battled some injury issues and hasn't been always available. So that'll hurt his free agency. But I do see him as still a young man who has some talent, making it back in the NFL somewhere. It might be a little bit of time before someone's willing to take that chance, but I do think he gets back in the league.
Are you in or are you out?
We'll have a lot of drug tests.
Oh, no, it'll be every day.
Every single day. John Beilein is officially out in Cleveland, as we've discussed a few times, stepping away as head coach and taking a secondary role with the franchise.
Now, did we find out what that role is, by the way?
I think it's kind of just like, hey, we don't want to pay you for doing nothing, so we'll just have you as an advisor.
Does he have to, like, come to the office?
Probably not.
I mean, it's just odd. We're paying you for the next 4 years, basically.
I guess it depends on how quickly he finds a second job.
Yeah. But he did a five-year deal, right? Wow.
So, now that he's gone, assistant coach J.B. Bickerstaff will take over as head coach.
By the way, J.B. Bickerstaff is always in the right place or wrong place at the right or wrong time, however you want to look at it, because he was Cavaliers, now interim. He was the Rockets interim, and then
Grizzlies.
Memphis Grizzlies, he was the interim. He's always the interim.
Well, the interesting thing is this time around, maybe because he's been the interim so often, he worked it into his contract reportedly that he will not be an interim if Beilein gets fired, and he will take over as the full-time head coach moving forward.
Ooh.
So that's apparently the deal in place, that he is now the Cavs head coach without the interim tag. Now, before Beilein left, a report also surfaced that the Cavs players taunted Beilein by blasting songs with the word thug in it after Beilein accidentally, quote-unquote accidentally,
a lot of Ja Rule,
called them thugs. So it seems like kind of immature behavior. I don't know. Maybe it was kind of a fun poke, or maybe they legitimately were just going after him.
It's a bunch of kids. You know, they're just – I don't – go ahead. Continue.
So with that said, in or out, it is better for the Cavs to have an internal coach like Bickerstaff take over full-time rather than find an outside candidate.
Yeah, I think this is inbounds right now, because no matter how you look at the Cavaliers' situation, their roster is so poorly constructed with a bad mix of veterans like Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love, as we talked about, and young players who are just trying to find their way. And so bringing in someone else new and going through this whole process again is not going to fix the roster construction problem. So to, I guess, keep it as it is probably best until you find until your roster gets right, and you can hire the right coach for your roster. So I'm going to say inbounds of this one. The Cavs have been, dysfunctional without LeBron around. I mean, we mock LeBron and kind of give him some shade because it seems like he was always running things. Like, it doesn't matter what the coach says or the GM says. It's who LeBron wants, and it's what the plays LeBron wants to wants to execute. But they seem to operate a lot more seamlessly when LeBron was around. So I'm going to say inbounds to this one. And by the way, I don't think they were, like, being malicious playing those songs with thugs. And I think they were just trying to be funny, trying to make light of it in a way. And he probably didn't get it. Beilein.
Are you in or are you out?
Obviously, the Astros cheating scandal has rocked baseball. And now the focus turns from Manfred's bungling of the punishments to how players will self-police on the field.
Are we going to have a day without going off on Rob Manfred?
Yeah, today we're not going to talk about Manfred at all. Nice. Today we're just going to mention his name and go off on potentially other people. Manfred has issued a warning to players who look to retaliate on the field.
I hope that I made it extremely clear to them that retaliation in-game by throwing at a batter intentionally will not be tolerated, whether it's Houston or anybody else. It's dangerous, and it is not helpful to the current situation.
Now, last week, former pitcher Curt Schilling told our friends Moose and Maggie on WFAN that throwing at Astros hitter is a bad idea.
I hit 52 guys in my career, and I think only three of them were accidental. But it was all for protecting my teammates. Your job's to win games, period. You get paid $15, $20, $30 million a year. You get paid to win ball games. That personal stuff, you want to take it out on, do it on your own time. If you have a 9-0 lead and you're comfortable, sure, go ahead, whatever you feel like doing. But getting yourself suspended for 7 to 10 days or whatever is not in the best interest of your team.
Now there are even concerns that players will go after the whistleblower himself, Mike Fiers. But Fiers told The Athletic, quote, "I'm not asking for extra security. I can defend myself. If anything, it's part of the game. If they decide to throw at me, then they throw at me. There's not much you can do." Now, today, actually, David Ortiz spoke out, calling Fiers a snitch and getting upset at him for not speaking out while he was actually on the Astros.
Interesting.
Now, in or out, as angry as players are, it would be a mistake to intentionally throw at Astros players or try to hurt them on the base path.
I'm going
to
say inbounds to that, because as much as we don't really respect Rob Manfred right now, he does seem pretty serious about this. I said I wasn't going to go off on him, but who does he think he is saying, "I hope that the players understand"? They don't respect the word that's coming out of your mouth right now, Rob Manfred. Don't try to threaten them with suspensions. I mean, talk about the the MLBPA coming, you know, to come back to haunt you. That would be the worst thing that he could do, to try to hand suspensions to these guys who were self-policing like baseball has since its inception, and not punishing the Astros players. Come on, Rob Manfred, calm your tone down a little bit. But I'm going to say inbounds of this, because I think Kurt is right. At the end of the day, you're going to maybe get an opportunity to throw at an Astros player or be high or be inside. Ultimately, how are you going to really determine what the intent was? Benches are going to clear. The Astros are going to get sensitive. The players that have this animosity towards the Astros, they're going to get aggressive. It's going to turn into a little bit of chaos, but must-watch television. As far as David Ortiz and fears being fires being concerned, it's interesting how players are irate about what they know, yet they're also equally irate that they know it because someone on the inside told it. It's a weird, like, juxtaposition with this situation in Houston and across Major League Baseball. There's drama right now in MLB, honestly, it's not bad for the sport. It really isn't. You gotta kind of watch it.
Are you in or are you out?
It's funny, we rip Manfred, but we give Goodell credit for, you know, helping the business despite bungling punishments himself.
Right.
If this is adding interest and intrigue to baseball, while he might be bungling them, Manfred is at least increasing the interest in the game. So you got to give him credit for that, whether it's intentional or not. Last one, Clemson has played in 4 of the past 5 college football playoff championship games, winning 2. The only time they didn't make it to the title game in that span back in 2017-18, that's when Georgia faced off against SEC conference foe Alabama. Now, as we know, Georgia is a perennial title contender, making 3 straight SEC title games and going 36-7 the past 3 seasons. Yesterday, Georgia and Clemson announced they will face off to open the 2021 season at a neutral site in North Carolina. They will also play again in 2024 and have a home-and-home series starting later than 2020.
So 2020 and then
2021,
2024,
and then a home-and-home series later on in the 2020s.
That's interesting.
Yes. So in or out, it is a mistake for both Georgia and Clemson to open their seasons against each other.
I'm going
to
say out of bounds to this. I think only because this game is early in the season, and as we've seen, you can recover from an early season loss, especially, I'm talking about to make the college football playoff, especially if it's against a high-level program that is also going to be in the top 10. And I think both of these programs, with Dabo Swinney at Clemson and Kirby Smart at Georgia, are trending to stay as top 10 teams. It should be a great game. It is not necessarily a rivalry, but it is a rivalry because these two teams are only – these two campuses are only an hour and 20 minutes apart. So it's like a similar – like media coverage area, fan base overlap. I think this is smart. I think it's great for both the SEC and the ACC to get two of their top teams like combating and battling against each other at the beginning of the season. It's not dissimilar to what we see in college basketball, right? When we see that, like, that ACC Big Ten challenge or something, whatever these preseason tournaments are. It's smart. It throws some interest up there because they're high profile games instead of super program versus, you know, little sisters of the poor. I like this. I think it's great, and they can recover if they lose.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, a Cowboys legend may have overstepped just a little bit when talking about Dak Prescott's future contract. But here's the question. Is he right?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.